Well, I love outdoors stuff. I love hill walking and mountain biking. So I am a little bit disappointed that I'm not away on the Hope Valley Venture camp with Andy and Amanda and Jenny and the Ignite group, because I love being out in the mountains. But one thing I'm not a big fan of is abseiling. I'm not a big fan of abseiling. I think there is nothing more unnatural than walking down a cliff on the end of a rope. When I am stood safely away from the edge of the rock face, waiting for my turn, I can see and I know that the rope will hold me. I know the leader can lower me safely. I've watched all the other people go down without any harm. I know in theory that I'll be fine. But as I stand at the edge of the cliff, with my back facing into thin air, as I am told to tip myself backwards over the edge, every bit of my body screams to stay upright, to have solid ground beneath my feet. I know I will be fine. The rope will hold, the leader will not drop me. But standing with my heels at the edge of the cliff, I refuse to lean back because I don't actually believe it. You see, there is a difference between knowing and really believing. It is really relatively easy to be stood back at a safe distance and know in theory. It is something very different to really believe, to actually be committed. And the truth is, we can do this with Jesus too. We can stand back and know him from a safe distance without ever really believing in him. But with Jesus, knowing about him is not enough. In our passage today, we are picking up and continuing a conversation which Andy was explaining to us last Sunday. It is a conversation between Jesus and a man called Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a seriously clever and religious man. In verse 10, Jesus calls him Israel's teacher, which is probably his title. Like the title Professor of Divinity at Temple University of Jerusalem. It's that kind of title. He's no dunce, this guy. And he and his colleagues, they have been watching Jesus. And they've had a good think. And they reckon they know who Jesus is. And so Nicodemus comes to him and says in verse 2, which we had read last week, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." Nicodemus has been watching from a distance. And he has seen that Jesus is a wise teacher. He knows that he is a miracle worker and a messenger from God. And he comes to Jesus saying, "We know who you are. We've been watching. We figured you out, Jesus." But in verses 3 to 10, which Andy explained last week, Jesus basically says, "No, you haven't. You haven't really seen. You haven't really understood. Because you haven't been born again. You may think you see and understand, but let me tell you something." Or as it says in verse 11 of the passage we are looking at today, "Let me tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." Jesus is saying, "You know what, Nicodemus? We see and know stuff too, but you do not accept it. You haven't got me yet. I have spoken to you of earthly things. I've spoken in simple, comprehensible ways. and you do not believe it. You don't get it, Nicodemus. You, the teacher of Israel, come wanting some highbrow discussion, but you haven't got me. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Which, of course, Jesus is uniquely qualified to talk about, given that, as it says in verse 13, he is the only one who has come from heaven. No one else has been there and back. Nicodemus is a seriously religious man. He knows that Jesus is a wise teacher, a miracle worker, and a messenger from God. But he stood back, away from the edge, observing from a distance. What he knows about Jesus is true. But Jesus says, knowing things about me is not what's needed, Nicodemus. You've got to believe. It's believing that makes the difference. I sympathize with Nicodemus. By the age of 22, I had sat through about 1,000 church services, I reckon. I knew that Jesus was a wise teacher with helpful moral advice. I knew that he worked miracles because the Bible said so. I thought he was a messenger from God because he did seem radically different to anybody else. I went to church. I knew true stuff about Jesus. But in all honesty, I was stood away. I was observing from a distance, not really believing, not really accepting. You see, what Nicodemus and I hadn't really understood at that point was that it's simply believing that makes the difference. Simply believing. But why do we need to believe? Well, we need to believe because Jesus is the snake on a pole. Strange but true. He is the snake on a pole. As it says in verse 14, if you look down at that, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is saying, do you remember the snake story, Nicodemus? Do you remember? Because that is a little picture of who I am. And you need to believe. Why you need to believe me. Andy briefly explained the story of the snakes last week, but let me remind you. It can be found in a book called Numbers, way back in the Old Testament. And over 1,000 years before Jesus, in the days of Moses, God rescued the Jews out of Egypt. You probably remember the story. To take them to the promised land. The journey should have taken a few weeks, but because of the people's disobedience, God made them walk around the desert for 40 years until the grumbling generation had died out. And it was during those 40 years that the snakes came. You see, the people kept on grumbling, speaking against God and complaining about his lack of concern for their comfort. So one day, God sent poisonous snakes among them as judgment. And many people were bitten and died. But the people recognized their wrong attitude towards God. And in his kindness and mercy, God told Moses to make a bronze snake, to put it up on a pole. And from then on, if anyone was bitten, rather than die, they could look at the bronze snake and live. Remember the snake story, says Jesus, because that is a picture of me. The people of Moses' day were rightly condemned for their rebellious attitude toward God, for their sin. The judgment was death by venomous snake. But in his mercy, God offered a rescue, so that all people had to do was come and look at the bronze snake up on a pole, and they would have life. And Jesus is saying, I'm like the snake. Look to me, believe in me, and you will have eternal life. And it's simply believing that makes the difference. It's not about knowing stuff about Jesus. It's not even about being religious like Nicodemus. We simply need to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, the snake story is a small picture of our situation too. And it's also a picture of the incredible offer that God gives us in Jesus. The whole world and all of us, me included, already stand condemned because of our rebellion towards God. The God who made us and gives us every breath. We are condemned because of our sin. That attitude in our hearts that says, shove off, God. I'm in charge of my own life. I don't want to follow your rules. I'll decide for myself what I want. We stand condemned before the perfect and holy God. And the judgment is death. Or as verse 16 puts it, we are condemned to perish. But God so loved the world that in his mercy he offers a rescue, a way to be saved, a bit like the snake on a pole. You see, God came in person into our world not to condemn us even more, but to save us. And all people need to do is come and believe in the Son of Man. Believe in Jesus, lifted up on the pole of the cross, dying in our place for our sins. Believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. But knowing about Jesus is not enough. Standing back and observing from a distance is no good. We have to believe. And there is good reason to believe. Because we are not standing back, enjoying the sunshine, stood on firm ground, watching a fun afternoon of abseiling. The reality which God reveals to us is that we are actually on a crumbling cliff, and we are going to perish. Unless we grasp hold of the mountain rescue's lifeline. Unless we believe. And put ourselves in the safe hands of Jesus. We have a free offer of rescue from eternal life. An eternal life with the good and living God. So what holds us back from believing? And what makes us so half-hearted about believing Jesus? Well, Jesus gives this very uncomfortable verdict in verse 19 onwards. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Jesus, the light. He came into the world. God himself has come, but people love darkness. We enjoy living life without God. We are comfortable with the gloom. We enjoy satisfying our own selfish desires. We enjoy pleasing ourselves, doing what I want to do, being pleasured by what pleases me. And the stark purity and goodness and kindness and other person-centered self-sacrificial love of Jesus is very uncomfortable, if not simply unbearable. We compare ourselves to the people we choose to compare ourselves to, because then we look relatively okay. But we don't like to compare ourselves to Jesus too often. Get too close to him and we discover just how bad we really are. Better to sit over here in safety. Not get too close. Observe from a distance. Because getting close to Jesus, close to the light, exposes our deeds and our attitudes. Mine too. And we are in danger of discovering, to our horror, that we're not good. Not anywhere near as good as we would like to be. We are sinners. We do not love God as we should, and we do not love other people as we should. So we hide from the light of Jesus, keep him safely at arm's length, not too close. We're on the crumbling cliff, but we're too proud to accept the rescue. We won't grab hold of the lifeline, because if we do, we know that they will find out, and we will have to admit that it was our mistakes and our bad decisions that got us into danger in the first place. We fear being exposed, is what Jesus says. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. Verse 21. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. But whoever lives by the truth, says Jesus, whoever believes, whoever comes into the light, well, they are rescued not by their own efforts and not by anything that we have done, not because we're religious like Nicodemus, and not because we know stuff, but only because God offers us a rescue through Jesus. He enables us to acknowledge our sinfulness, and he enables us to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So do you believe? Because knowing about who Jesus is not enough. Standing back and observing is actually no good. We have to believe. Now, if you think you are someone stood away observing Jesus from a distance, and knowing things about him, but not really believing yet, whether you've been stood there a short time or all your life, if you are stood there wanting to believe, then be encouraged. You are in the right place to be helped. Jesus wants you to believe. Pray that you would, and come and talk to me afterwards. But perhaps you're holding back. Perhaps you're holding because you'd have to stop doing something as something wrong that you rather enjoy. God tells us we need to turn away from our sin to come to him. But the truth is that whatever wrong we enjoy, it really isn't that great. And where it leads is even worse. God wants you to have eternal life. That doesn't simply mean in length of time. It means the best quality of life. Beginning now in part and for all eternity. Don't let these things hold you back from believing. Or perhaps you're holding back because you fear. A fear that you'd have to admit that you're actually a sinner. Admit that you're not as good as you think you are. That's what I find difficult. I find it very uncomfortable standing close to Jesus. I discover just how selfish, unloving, and sinful I am. But thank God he shows me what his pure and selfless love looks like. And that pure and selfless love of his is directed towards me, even in my tendency to pride. Or perhaps you're holding back because of fear that God might not accept you. If only he knew the real truth about you. Well, he does know. He does know already. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. He has already given his son to die for you. He wants you to believe and have eternal life. Don't let those things hold you back from believing. So do you believe? Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.